Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah, I think so. When I talk to Chris, not my department, you know, we have so much going on with the team, but when I talk to Crane about it, he's really confident that that there's going to be a deal. I mean, there's no secret that there's a tremendous appetite for any entertainment right now, given how much people are stuck in their homes, and especially sports, given the absence of sports from the landscape the last 4 months, and especially Cubs baseball around here. So it would sure be a shame if that appetite we're not taken care of. But I think, look, there are proper incentives on all sides to get a deal done, and I'd be really, really surprised if Cubs fans can't just flip on a device one way or another and watch the Cubs play.
That's what we all want. That's what we all need. We need something. We need live sports. We need a team that we love to cheer for. Whether it's the Cubs or if you're a Sox fan, you want to get your games. You're going to get your games on NBC Sports Chicago if you're a Sox fan. But the Marquee Network is new, and I think it's going to be great in the future. It's just a matter of getting an agreement with Comcast with the way a lot of Chicago watches it, including you and I, Waddle.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of encouraging things to take from that conversation with Theo. I also felt very good about his perception of the testing and the hiccup that occurred and how he feels that the process that they're going through, the lab that they're using, he seemed to be very optimistic about it all, which in turn, I think we should be optimistic if he's optimistic about
it. Yes, 2 weeks away, Waddle, and then we got some preseason games coming up before that, and, you know, they're scrimmaging. The Sox had their scrimmage a little bit earlier. Dallas Keuchel pitched well. Even though the narrative and the testing for football and for college is not good, that maybe the way baseball is doing it, the way hockey has it set up, the way the NBA has it set up, that we can get at least three of those sports up and running in the meantime, that even if football, both collegiately and the NFL, gets delayed, that we'll have sports in our life through October.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic about that. And even if you have to push football back a little bit. Look, and I think a lot of it is, like the NBA, if people don't think that the NBA is physical, you're crazy. Like if you don't, because everyone's talking about football, well, guys are going to be breathing and spitting on each other and bleeding on each other. There's no way to keep them safe. Well, if you're all tested negative and you're spitting and bleeding on each other, then you're just spitting and bleeding negative stuff on each other. You're not spitting positive stuff all over each other, right? Same way with basketball. Like, basketball's no different.
Science over here.
I'm your science guy. Basketball's no different. Like, everyone wants to say, oh, football, you can't do it because of the contact. Have you seen an NBA game? I mean, those guys go after one another.
Yeah, it was always when we were growing up, it was always like, hey, football's a contact sport.
Right.
And then it changed when I heard it best is that A, football is not a contact sport. It's a collision sport.
Right.
And B, basketball is a contact sport.
Of course it is. So is hockey.
Yes.
So like if basketball and hockey, and again, I get it, they're in a bubble situation, which is definitely going to enhance things. But as long as your testing is efficient as humanly possible, and we know there are going to be some lags and some hiccups and some bumps, like if your whole offense and your whole defense is tested negative and you go out there and you have a physical practice, why is that any different than the NBA playing a game between the Nets and the Lakers when both teams are also everybody's negative and they're in a scrum for 48 minutes? It's the same.
Yeah,
right.
And just to reiterate what we told you before the top of the hour is that Theo Epstein did say that they all have been testing negative. They got the latest results back. No one has tested positive for the for COVID-19. So
that's great. And you know what?
Great.
I think a team that's very disciplined, and hopefully that's what the Cubs are, and you can't rule it all out. Some, if they have a positive going forward, God forbid, it's not necessarily going to be because somebody exhibited irresponsible behavior. Sometimes those things are just going to happen, but I take my chances. I'd be willing to take my chances more with a team that I think is disciplined and everyone's on the same page with it. And I think if you've got one of those teams, you've got a leg up on the league.
Right. And look, there's a lot of discipline in it too, Waddle, not just about where you go and who you come in contact with, but it's to be honest with yourself and your teammate if you're not feeling well. Like that, like, again, if you have any of those symptoms that they continuously ask us about, and I know they get the scans all the time for the temperatures, that you've got to be forthright and say, look, I don't feel right today, and you can never be too precautious these days.
That's going to be a hurdle because you know all of these athletes, regardless of sports, in a lot of ways they're just conditioned to ignore bumps and bruises, aches and pains, and not always feeling 100%. So, yeah, it's going to be incumbent on the medical staffs of all these teams also to make sure they're keeping up with how everybody is doing on a consistent basis.
Mellor, Abdallah, I know you guys are back there. So we get very lucky where Theo is very engaged when he holds a conversation with us, 20, 25 minutes of commercial-free stuff there, wide variety of topics. What stood out to you guys?
I thought it was interesting, and it's when you guys asked him, will a 60-game season be a meaningful championship if you go ahead and win it? And he talked about how, I think when you think about it, I can understand the perspective, but he said it might be more meaningful because it's going to take a Herculean task, not just from the guys on the roster, but you're probably going to have to rely on more guys than normal, and everybody in the front office, what they're going through to make this happen, it might be more meaningful to the team that actually can win a World Series title because of what we're going through right now.
Well, that's and I asked him that question because I think in some ways you can look at it in two ways. If you're a guy running a team, oh God, this is such a pain in my ass. I can't do this, I can't do that, I had all this planned. Or this could get your creative juices flowing, and this could actually spark a little bit of extra creativity and competition in you to maybe go out there and do something and accomplish something knowing that the traditional rules are not in effect.
That's what I want. I'm truly interested to see how different teams handle their approach to their pitching staffs, because in 60 games, the big thing is with relief pitchers, the bullpen, a lot of times you can rely on a bullpen heavily for the first couple months, but you always know you got to have to ease off.
And Joe's going to wear them all out.
Exactly.
Right?
You have a 162 game marathon. You need to be worried about getting relievers up and down in the bullpen and when you can use them in a 60 game season. You can look at your pitchers and go, you know what, you're not going through the order more than twice if you're not humming along, because we've got all these relievers, we've got this taxi squad we can draw upon. So as long as people aren't ravaged by positive coronavirus tests, it gives teams an opportunity to really play this in a strategic way that we're not used to. And listen, if you're the Cubs and you're at across baseball, a big strength that you have is when you can count on Theo and Jed to apply their smarts to the game.
Right.
That's huge advantage.
Get the step ahead. When everyone thinks alike, it's harder to have the advantage. Maybe in a 60-game season, this is where other front offices or other teams kind of stand out from the norm, because this isn't the norm.
I wanted to ask him, but I thought the conversation was too positive, so I kept it in my back pocket, about the fact that who's your reliever again with this dangling arm?
Kimbrel.
Listen, this is the second straight year that he's gone through an unconventional spring training or off season. And how concerning is that for a guy who, had proved last year that the path he took may have played a role in his performance? Well, it's kind of a similar path this year, isn't it? In some ways?
You could have answered Brandon Morrow when you ask who's the guy with the dangling arm.
That's true. Good
even
point.
Though he's not on the Cubs anymore.
Well, I just want to know, do the Sox, do they list C-Sheck as a righty or a lefty? Did Joe turn him into a lefty after the number of innings he asked him to pitch?
It could, yes, maybe. It does he still throw from the sidearm like he does with a left hand, too? I heard him on the station the other day. He was very upbeat.
Oh, I thought he was always fun to talk to as well.
You're awful chesty as a Reds fan about our Chicago teams here. Pointing out all the flaws.
Yeah, making the jokes.
Listen, I can point out the positives. You got Schwarber that's probably going to hit 40 dongs in 60 games as a DH.
That's a lot of dongs.
And I can point out the fact that there are other things that you got to look at. I mean, look, how much of a role are you expecting C-Shack to play for the White Sox? Somewhat of one, but not the role that they're asking Kimbrel to play, right? I haven't got chesty with your Sox yet.
All right.
Yet. Abdallah, anything stick out to you?
Yeah, two things. The first one was how he's confident in David Ross to handle this situation, but I feel like, you know, with the strategy being gone of the double switch, but you still have to manage your pitching staff because you have to have the minimum of three batters. I always thought that this would be a nice ease into managing for David Ross, the short 60-game schedule, because, yeah, they can say it matters, but if they start the season 10-20, then you're like, well, I mean, this season doesn't really matter anyway, you know?
Did they keep that rule with the three? You have to
have to do that. And then my other takeaway was I dislike the fact that baseball just has no ending and you can just play 18 innings if you want to and until there's a winner. So I like I don't necessarily like the starting with a guy on second, but I like that there is an answer to just having an endless amount of baseball that could stretch into 2 days if you needed to, and you could burn an entire, well, yeah, I don't get a hit, but you know, sometimes you just don't get, we've all seen this. This Jed Hoyer's talked about it before. Listen, ruins them for weeks.
There's no bar for you to leave the ballpark and go to after games now. So you got time on your hands. Just sit back and enjoy it.
But they don't have arms either. They run out of arms.
They got 60 guys.
And then you're done with arms.
They really 60 should. 60 guys. They're all making, half of them are making
$18
keep, a
like
day,
he said,
yeah,
just
they're
keep,
all making $8.
Just keep an open mind. Just keep an open mind to the guy on second.
I was going to say, are you at least going to listen to him in that regard?
You know what, Sylvie? I am, because I learned my lesson with the extra point in football. I was a jackass about that. I was reluctant. I was one of the guys with his head in the sand screaming, this is not necessary. And I think it's been a great addition to the strategy, or just to the outcome of football games.
Look, in college football, it's not conventional to start in overtime the way
that
they do, but it's fun. In hockey, it's not conventional in the regular season to just say after 5 minutes of overtime, okay, let's have this shootout. But it's awesome. It's fun. And I think because it's an equal playing field, that maybe the same thing could apply. Runner on second. Let's see how this goes for both teams. It doesn't have to be good and pure to be fun.
Let's take a player. So I think we had a caller a couple of weeks ago that say, instead of putting the runner on second, you're only allowed to play with what is it, seven guys in the field?
Oh, he wants to start taking dudes off the
right.
field?
I didn't mind that. I don't mind that at all.
There you go.
You know what? If you're so opposed, though, to any type of overtime or extra innings aspect of your game, like, to the point where you need to, like, just then get rid of it. Have ties in the regular season.
Yes, have ties.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
The shootout doesn't have ties. The shootout decides wins.
You know what? I liked hockey better before the shootout. I was perfectly fine with ties.
The Patrick Kane shootout move is some of the best 20 seconds in sports.
Yeah. You said in sports, right?
Mm. Yes, in sports.
I don't like the shoot. I don't like penalty kicks either. Just, it's a tie. You tie. Unless it's the playoffs, and then you got to keep playing.
I'm with you there. Like, didn't the U.S., the Women's World Cup final was determined on penalty kicks. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the United States women outdid, was it China that they beat? Who did they
beat? But remember, baseball, right, in 96.
But no, I'm just saying, my point is,
mm-hmm.
I'm with you, or whoever said it. I don't want to see a World Cup championship end in penalty kicks. Play until nobody can stand any longer.
And remember, baseball's only doing this for the regular season.
Right.
So the World Series and playoff games won't be decided this way.
Exactly. All
hockey
the more reason. Just have the ties then. If you're not going to do it in the playoffs, then just go to the ties completely. Because, like, that's the reason the only reason they're introducing it is because they don't want to play these long inning games where they're, you know, like Abdallah said, where it ruins your team for weeks
on end.
Maybe
it'll change your strategy in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. Maybe you'll see different strategy down the last three innings of a game.
You know what you'll see?
It's going to be great.
You'll see teams. You will see teams bunt a lot more in extra innings to get the runner over to third.
Really? Yeah, nobody out, runner on second. Does the first guy automatically bunt, or do you just let three guys go up there and get the runner who's already in scoring position home?
Why don't you do
you hate the
runner?
But it's different when, like, that run, you know, is so, you know, it's a go ahead run situation. Go ahead, guys.
I got an answer for that. You start the inning with one out as well. So if you bunt him over, that's two outs.
Well, now you're just talking crazy.
I'm just saying. I'm being an idea guy here.
Let's start.
Meller
with
doesn't
one
like
count.
It. Like you don't like it, right?
I'm
Meller?
Just saying ties after nine. That's fine for regular season. It doesn't bother me.
312-332-3776 if you want to weigh in on the conversation. I think Meller brought up a good point, and this is my mantra. At least I am going into sports in the pandemic with an open mind and not with an asterisk. And I want to build on what Meller had to say coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So I know everyone wants to say, well, what happens if a team that we don't expect wins the title, we're just going to say, that was a season with only 60 games. Or that was a season when there was a four-month delay and there's going to be an asterisk and everything like that. You know, I think it depends who wins it for the way the narrative is going to be spun. And I brought this up to you before, Waddle, with LeBron, and I'm pretty insistent on it, that if LeBron goes to the bubble, if he goes to Orlando, and he dominates, and he has, let's say they get the whole season in, they crown a champion. LeBron goes on to post some of his best numbers in a postseason that he's ever faced. He averages 30 points in the postseason. He wins his fourth title, his first with the Lakers. I believe that they're going to spin that like we were talking about with Meller, and it could prop up what a team may have accomplished. Well, they were the best team before the virus hit. They were able to take 3 months off. They dedicated themselves to staying in shape. And then he went out, and despite being away from his family, despite not having all the creature comforts that he normally has of home court advantage, he was still able to differentiate himself as the best player. In just another landscape, LeBron was able to prove that he's the best player. I think, yeah. Dependent on what happens, if a lot of the stars win it, you could spin it as one of their most validating championships.
Well, it certainly is going to be. Look, they've played 75% of their season to begin with, and then have to. But like LeBron overcoming all of the uncomfort, you know, the uncomfortable stuff that you just mentioned, all the guys he's playing against are also doing it as well. So it's not like only LeBron staying in a bad hotel and having to, you know, to overcome the layoff and all the other stuff. They're all faced with the same stuff.
Right, but so, they'll say, like, he did it better than the rest. You know,
well, his team's better than everybody else's, too. I'm with you. If he wins a fourth title, I think, you know, I don't think anyone will hold that against him. No doubt. Again, because they were the number one team in the West 75% of the way in. And if they go and they handle the adversity, especially if, like, look, if they beat a couple of teams, like if they face off with the Bucks and Giannis isn't playing, you know, and they win the title, people will talk.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, so I mean, I think there are.
Yes.
But I'm with you in general. I think these sports that have gone through 75% of their season anyway, I think that they've got a better argument. But what's an asterisk anyway? I mean,
it's just another way that people use first, the hot take.
Yeah, know? I don't look in the history books. You know, I don't read. Like, I don't go into the books that show all the titles. And read. In the 2020, that was the Lakers with an asterisk. I'm not going to those places where you have to put the asterisk. I may have my own, and I've told you, and I'm not coming off of that. Like, if the Cincinnati Reds go out and do the unthinkable and win the World Series this year in a 60-game season, which is virtually 33%, or what is it? How much is it? 40%? My math.
Around 40.
Okay, so 38. A 40% season this year. I'm just telling you, me personally. I'm not telling you how you should feel if the Cubs win or Meller should feel if the Sox win. It'll be great. I'll celebrate. But it really will feel different than the other three. There's no doubt.
Meller, you were the one who was building us the house. Like, I also think, like, again, depending on who does it, on who dominates. Like, if Clayton Kershaw in a 60-game season goes out and puts up a 1.43 ERA, mm-hmm. and the Dodgers finally break through and he has a really good postseason, then I think it gets built up. that, oh my God, like, or a John Lester who has dominated before can go in a short term and put up a, and carry a team. I think a lot of the asterisk talk will be thrown on the wayside, and they say, well, that was just a stud doing studly things and really getting to work in the short period of time.
That's a good point. Like, if you get a team that none of us think is very good, that all of a sudden sneaks into the playoffs based on the fact that it's a 60-game schedule, then maybe a lot of baseball fans will look at this in a way that it's not legitimate.
Right.
But, like, I wonder how many of our younger listeners really even understand when we bring up the idea of an asterisk, where it comes from. Because some people may not even know that the reason the idea of an asterisk exists in sports is because Roger Maris breaking Babe Ruth's home run record was initially given an asterisk by the commissioner of baseball at the time, because he did so in what was a 162-game season as opposed to Babe Ruth having a 154-game season.
Right.
And that, to me, is the only thing of my knowledge in sports that actually has the quote-unquote asterisk. Every other championship doesn't get an asterisk next to it. We talk about it like it does, but the reality is that, like, and we'll mention, okay, the Spurs won a strike-shortened NBA season when they won their first title with Tim Duncan, and sure, was it the Mavs? Did the Mavs win it, or was it the Heat who actually won it? The Heat won it, right? Yeah, the Heat won it, their first title in a shortened NBA season, but they don't actually get asterisks. Like, I think
the Hawks too, remember?
I told you guys a week ago, that to me was one of the most fun hockey seasons I can ever remember, because it came at you fast and furious. And I think as long as like a team that we all kind of go, they shouldn't be in the playoffs, as long as a team like that doesn't win it, I think it'll be just as meaningful, because the playoffs are going to be the same as a normal MLB season.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I think
that's why I say NBA, it's different.
On what happens.
Yeah, the NBA, I think, is I don't think anyone's going to bellyache about who wins the. I mean, look.
Unless it's a team like. Well, let's just Oklahoma
say the
Celtics.
Okay, but let's say the Celtics beat a Lakers team without AD on it. I mean, that one won't feel as good as all the other ones that the Celtics have had.
You know what, though? If the Hawks win the NHL playoffs this year, all right, maybe we can actually talk about an asterisk. Because they're the 24th team in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if they find a way to win it all.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Come on now.
I know, but like, if they find a way to win it all, like, there's a lot of NHL people who will be like,
said they should not have been in it to begin with. Because it wasn't even the same rules.
Yes, but once they got in, they went through the process and did what they did.
That's a bastardized version of the NHL's playoffs. You have to admit that. Like, now, I'm not saying it can't be fun, but the way that thing got thrown together. And then think about it. You could either win the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, but you guys, wait
a
second.
Or you could win the lottery if you get bounced.
But you guys are all huge advocates of expanding all the postseasons, aren't you? So
no.
They expanded.
No, who is?
I am more. I don't mind it as much as
I know this
of baseball.
Guys.
Wait. Sylvie is of baseball, but Sylvie doesn't want more teams in the NBA or NHL playoffs.
No, but NFL I'm good with. Like, I'm good with them adding the extra playoffs in the NFL.
But that's partially because they had such a limited number to begin with in the NFL and Major League Baseball. Like, NBA, if the NBA and NHL put more playoff teams in, like the NHL is doing this year, that's a lot. That's too many.
Andrew on the north side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good.
About you and your family during this time, Sylvie, especially you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, I just want to chime in and say that I'm actually, I think it's the opposite. If a team like the Dodgers go on and actually win a championship finally, and Kershaw finally gets his championship, I'm thinking that it's not as special and it's not as big, and there is going to be that asterisk there, because in a 162-game series, I mean, because Kershaw struggles so much in the playoffs, that's part of it. Like, I feel like he just tires out by the end of the season. With a shortened season and not as many games pitched, he could be dominant and, you know, still just take over the league. And, you know, for that reason, I don't think that the Dodgers would be, if the Dodgers win, or a team of that caliber would be, you know, as special.
It's interesting. See, and Andrew just gives a great example that people could spin anything any way you want. Yeah.
This is why it's going to be up to the individual. How do you feel about your team's championship in 2020? Like, I'm with Meller or whoever said there's going to be no asterisk next to anything.
Yeah,
but you will individually think about it.
That should be the worst thing we ever talk about in Chicago sports radio.
An asterisk on a championship?
Championship. Like, how diminished is our Chicago sports championship? Oh, I wish we had that conversation.
You guys just wait until the Bears are playing conference-only games against the rest of the NFC North, and Matt Nagy's got a really good record against the conference, except for the Packers. He's got a really good record against the conference, and the Bears end up going to the playoffs. They go to the Super Bowl. Mitch wins everything. Just saying. Just remember this conversation.
Okay, we will. We will. 312-332-3776. We've got a lot to do. We have not touched on the polarizing topic of college football. And I'm sure Waddle's got some nuggets in Waddle's world. But remember, we also have Dave Revson coming up from the Big Ten Network. They were the first conference to say conference-only games. He'll join us at 4. If you missed the Theo interview, it was awesome stuff. We will replay that coming up at 5 o'clock. And don't miss the baseball show tonight with Hoodie at 6 o'clock.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Like the weird, 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 weird open a little bit better.
Me too. I think that's my favorite.
Me too. Because
sounds like you saying it too. Weird.
Weird, 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 weird. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people, our partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. You know what we have tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Saturday. What do we have tomorrow?
What do we have in the world
of sports? Do you want me to say it? Do you want me to say it how I said it during the break, Waddle?
Yeah.
Fight Island! Yes, I know Fight Island.
Okay, so for a breakdown on what's going to be happening in Abu Dhabi, I sent it in to Adam Abdallah, who I believe he and Chris Bleck are doing a show tonight, MMA focused on Fight Island.
8 to 10 o'clock tonight, brought to you by Body Armor and 7-Eleven. Get your Body Armor. Two for $4 at 7-Eleven right now. But we're going to talk about Usman and Masvidal. Masvidal had to cut 20 pounds to make weight in 6 days.
Come on.
Usman's been preparing for burns for weeks, and then all of a sudden he gets thrown. Well, you have to fight Masvidal, who's one of the best strikers in UFC right now. So
okay, time out.
Get
let
ready
me,
for
let,
that. Yeah, go
let
ahead.
Let me ask in. Excuse before, me? I just yep. want to interrupt yep. one second.
Uh-huh.
Once he weighs in and makes weight, can he put some of that weight back on?
You're damn right he can.
Yeah, he can. Okay. Yeah, he can start eating again and stuff.
Bulk up, baby.
But I mean, like, I don't know, how much do you want to eat before you're going to step into the ring and try to fight a dude?
Couple of chili, cutting 20 couple of pounds. Chili cheese dogs?
No, I know, but a couple of, you know, 20 pounds, you cut 20 pounds in 6 days. My thought would be once you make weight, you may probably add 10 of those pounds back.
Right, you probably do.
At least.
Right? MMA expert Ray Flores has told me that that's fine, you're good, like you can do it and still be all right.
Is Ray still in town? I know he came back the other day.
He is still in town. He'll be joining Chris and I tonight to break down these fights as well.
I saw him.
Great guy.
I saw a picture of him on Twitter. He was out at in Schaumburg at one of at the baseball park.
Or was it Rosemont?
He was supposed. He came in
Schaumburg. Yeah, I meant Rosemont.
He was here to. He got tested, and then he was supposed to go do some announcing work, and then they canceled those fights. So he's just here now.
Is there anything else on Fight Island that you'd like to talk about?
Oh, there's three title fights that are going to go on Fight Island, but I'm not going to take away from Waddle's World, so tune in tonight at 8 o'clock to Chris and I for all that. Brought to you by
there's
Body Armor and 7-Eleven.
There's not a show that you two can't do.
Listen, you give me, like I said to Waddle, just give me what's going to be on the test like an hour before. I'll do my best.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Thank you. You were cramming. Thank you, right? Aren't you cramming?
No, I mean, look, with nothing else on, I've been watching whatever's on and gambling on whatever's on. So whether it's the MLS last night, I was watching
what happened
on my
to
phone.
Us last night. I mean, we were looking for four goals to cash a ticket, and it was zero at the half.
Well, it was zero at the half in the last game too, and that went over in like the 97th minute. This is still when you get these guys that have been off for so long and they're in this weird bubble, you're feeling it out. We're not betting. Listen, we're not betting hundreds of dollars here. We bet $25. So yeah, we're just kind of feeling
it out. What
are we
betting on tonight?
I like the Sounders tonight.
They're in Seattle, right?
Yeah. Well, no, they're in Florida.
No. I know they're from Seattle. Don't be a wise ass.
Yes, they are from Seattle. Yes, okay. And they're taking on the San Jose Earthquakes at 8 o'clock tonight.
Is it the Earthquakes with an S or just Earthquake?
No, the San Jose Earthquakes.
They're
earthquakes,
multiple quakes.
Okay. Multiple quakes.
It's not good. By the way, Workday Charity Open in Muirfield Village Golf Course in Dublin, Ohio. I'm talking about the PGA Tour, which is in progress. Your second round leader so far is Colin Morikawa. Sam Burns, he's at 13 under par. Sam Burns is four shots back.
So Burns has withdrawn from Fight Island, but he's golfing this weekend.
That is correct. He probably decided there was more money to be made at the Workday Charity Open in Muirfield Village. And remember, Tiger's back next week.
By the way, can I give you a little golf update? They've got that Century Open thing going on, you know,
yes.
With all the celebs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've recently followed on Instagram Jerry Rice, arguably the greatest football player of all time.
Yeah, it's a good argument.
And he was Instagramming that, hey, look, I'm golfing. But next week he was saying, I've got this virtual wine tasting thing. So I texted Merck and I said, Merck, get Jerry Rice for Waddle and me to talk wine next week.
Oh,
how
okay.
great would that be
yeah.
to have Jerry Rice on the show talking alcohol?
That's fine. That's great. I mean, it's the one thing I probably could go, you know, shot for shot with Jerry Rice.
Yes. finally an equal playing field for
right.
you, an even playing
like
field.
Like Jerry Rice, we step into the huddle and the quarterback doesn't know who to throw to. Like, when we're talking drinks,
Jerry,
like, I get it.
We wanted to even the playing field between you and Waddle, so we wanted to get you on to talk
right.
wine.
Right. No, I get it. If it's third and seven and we're in the huddle at the same time, and that's probably because Freddie Solomon and John Turner both got hurt, so I'm in there with Jerry. There's no doubt where Steve Young or Joe Montana are going with the ball. They're going to Jerry. If we step into the huddle and it's all about wine or a couple of beers or something like that, I'm thinking that Steve and Joe are coming my way ahead of Jerry.
We can actually let him settle the debate of how many career touchdowns you actually have in the NFL.
That's good. We could ask him and I think he would side with Waddle. The more, the merrier.
Yeah.
That's
suck
true. It, you know what? You're right, Sylvia. That's true. He's probably biased because then if he could tally up all his additional playoff touchdowns into his,
yes,
into his
exactly,
numbers.
That's exactly what it
do
is.
Do you know Jerry Rice had 10 rushing touchdowns, Waddle?
He's the greatest player in the history of the game.
You had 9 receiving. He had 10 rushing.
See, Rice is a big Waddle fan because he knows what
something
it's
that like Meller isn't. Like, well, you know what? So at the end of the day, if Jerry Rice is a fan and Meller isn't, I think it's been a good day, don't you?
It's been a good day, right?
Okay, thank you.
Look, Rice knows what it's like to play with God.
Some folks like chocolate,
gifts.
Some like vanilla.
But for Waddle, he sympathizes that he didn't have all the tools in the toolbox.
It wasn't a toolbox. It was like one of those bad tool belts, and it had screwdriver and
it's an empty, broken down toolbox with nothing inside of it.
Amen, bro. Amen. The Giants' Buster Posey has opted out of playing this season. Decision comes after he and his wife finalized their adoption of twins that were born prematurely last week. In a statement, the team said it fully supports the star catcher's decision. Have there been any other big-name players that have recently decided that this is not for them?
Not recently. Remember, like, we had Ryan Zimmerman, Ian Desmond were, like, two of the bigger names that opted out.
Dwayne Markakis?
Nick Markakis, yes.
Yeah. He's the first, though, to go and then to opt out. Like,
yeah.
I think what we're hearing now more so, and Meller alluded to this earlier, the left tackle from the Bucs, and there are a lot of football players who are questioning everything going on. And like with them have not Robbie Gold pointed this out to us yesterday that the NFL still doesn't know about their safety protocols. And we're like a few weeks away from training camp. We're under 3 weeks away, aren't we? From the report date.
I think we're in the neighborhood.
28th,
there.
I want to say.
Well, when we're talking about the testing, I think it's about when you're going to be tested, right? How many times you're going to be tested, where the tests are going to go. Look, they're going to face the same things that Major League Baseball and the NBA faced. This is not going to be a smooth, seamless procedure. It just isn't. Like, this is not what they do for a living. What they do is they beat the hell out of each other for a living. Correct. They don't do testing and all that stuff. Speaking of Donovan Smith, Bucks left tackle, he says not worth playing, or he's at least asking the question, not is it worth playing during a pandemic? Risking my health as well as my family's health does not seem like a risk worth taking, Smith said in an Instagram post Friday morning. Smith is expecting, his wife is expecting their first child in 3 weeks. He raised many concerns about how he and teammates are supposed to protect themselves and their families and about the NFL's testing protocols. That's what I would be interested in. He also questioned the NFL's proposal to slash 35% of player salaries due to lost revenue. I don't think they're slashing those salaries. I think what they're saying is they would put them in escrow that you would get it. It's just a matter of when you would get it. I think it's a valid point, and if he doesn't want to play, I don't think anyone should come down on him and say, "Hey,
Brady's going to come down on him."
Going to say, kidding? Has Tom Brady not passed along the COVID vaccine that he's the TB12 method has?
You think he has like the presidential sort of pill?
The pill.
I don't know if he has it, but I think he believes he has it, and that's why they're all having those private Bucks workouts.
Probably bought it with that
Donovan Smith wasn't apparently invited to.
He probably bought it with that PPP loan.
But Jose Quintana was.
Did Brady's TB12 get a PPP loan?
Yep.
Did they really?
Yep.
He didn't have any money to support it, did he?
No, Tom Brady? No, broke. Yeah. Flat broke. That Tom Brady, flat broke.
Yeah. So, look, I don't know. I'm telling you guys again, like, Donovan Smith, I'm not going to criticize anyone, nor would I criticize anyone that says, hey, listen, I understand the risks. I'm playing. I love ball. And I want to get paid. Like, I'm not going to criticize anyone for anybody's any points. I'm just telling you, like, there are a lot of guys in the league, despite, first of all, the same thing exists in football that exists in baseball, as Meller has pointed out quite a bit. The majority of the rank and file guys aren't making the $500 million contracts that Patrick Mahomes just signed. There's a lot of guys, and some of them probably because they're still young and maybe they've purchased a few things along the way, that are living paycheck to paycheck, and they want to get paid. So there is financial incentive for them to get out there and play. So my guess is you're going to see I won't say unanimous, but you'll see a very, very, very large portion of the players that are going to decide to play, but there will be some that don't, and I respect the hell out of their decision.
I will say, though, it did surprise me, because when you have a left tackle, you know, you can speak to a Waddle. Like, that's, you know, you're picking an offensive line. That's one of the first spots you're going to try and fill if you can. And he's been a good one for the Bucks. And so protecting Tom Brady's blind side, I have to imagine Tom Brady not thrilled reading that headline. Whether, you know, and I agree with you completely. I support, obviously, any player's right to opt out at this point.
Well, shame on Tom Brady if he would ever, and I'm not suggesting he has or he will. Shame on anybody that would try to, and I'm sure it will happen in some instances, maybe not with Brady. Some will try to shame their teammates into playing if they're suggesting that maybe they won't. That's human nature, right? That's the human.
Yeah, race. That's what I'm, you know, fearful of. I mean, it's not, obviously there's bigger things to be afraid of, but it's unfortunate if Donovan Smith has to, go into that locker room.
Next season. I felt initially as patient zero at the station, I felt there was a little bit of shaming of me not to come to work, and I feel some of that shame now as well, sitting at home here on a Friday.
But you shouldn't.
Canceled Wimbledon is paying prize money to qualified players.
Meller, you guys need to sit down coming up next.
What's that?
I think Meller wanted to explain that for the greater good, right?
Fight Island! I'm just joking, Jeff. You're taking it too seriously.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you didn't actually feel shame, that's all.
No, and I wasn't directly talking to you either,
okay.
Mr.
It's for the good of the team. We don't want anything
here. Why do you think I'm sitting at home with my feet kicked up?
Because you're the best damn teammate out there.
Guys, Sylvie said next.
By the way, no drinks last night. No drinks last night.
You want extra credit for not doing drugs?
Yep, I do.
Sounds like
when we come back, I'll get that extra credit.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Yes. Hey, as I was saying before the fight broke out on Fight Island. Did you see, well, we all know that the one sport, I think you all know, What is the one sport and the one event in that sport that had pandemic insurance? Guys?
Wimbledon?
Wimbledon.
Yes. Well done. So Wimbledon, did you see what they're doing? Is they're paying the prize money to the qualified players. Pulling from a pot of $12.6 million, the organization will distribute prize money to the 620 players whose world rankings would have enabled them to gain entry into the championship of 2020 by direct acceptance into the main draw of the qualifying event. The highest payouts will be $31,576, will be going to 256 players who would have competed in main draw singles. The lowest payouts would have been for $6,300, would go to four players who would have competed in the quad wheelchair events. So what they've done is they've taken the insurance money and actually given it to the players.
That's good.
That were just rated. Isn't that
great? It's nice to see the players get the credit.
Instead
of just going into the pockets of the organizers.
I thought you would appreciate that.
I do.
I know you are pro player. No one else is.
You know me. I'm pro player.
Just you, pro player. Everyone else.
It's not like you played.
Yeah, everyone else is just, you know, trying to put more money in the owner's pockets. I know how you go.
I'm a little disappointed they didn't choose to give the baseball owners the prize money.
Ricketts is like, I've got a racket. Hey, by the way, did they sell out their rooftops yet?
I'm sure they will. I mean, you know, that opening game sold out.
By the way,
still
opening
surprised
day,
that you guys don't find it as interesting as I do to go to a game that no one else can attend. I think that's amazing.
You know, I think the part is, though, that the rooftop view is not a great view.
It's a horrible view.
Yeah. Even better said.
I mean, I to be honest, like, the experience is fantastic.
It's one of the most unique views in all of sports.
Yeah, when you can hang out with friends and have a great party atmosphere, but someone's sitting behind a pole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'd rather watch the game on HD.
The whole exclusivity thing, you can keep that.
Yeah, because you have to still socially distance.
Look at me.
And wear
I'm way up high in a rooftop seat. I can't see a damn thing going on in the game, but I'm here, and only 25 other people were allowed in for $300.
After we talk to Rever, let me ask you the question that I have about this topic for you guys, okay?
Okay.
I want to spin this off into another thing.
Did you guys know, regardless of what you think, irregardless is a word? Did you know that?
Yeah, didn't they just elect to put that in?
Yeah, I think that we're lowering the bar for actual words these days, like way low. Mm-hmm. But the Webster Dictionary, they decided that we're going to put it in, irregardless. It's included in the dictionary.
They also said that they don't control what words they're basically like reporters. They just document what words are being used. That's why new words get in, like when we say, you know, like new slang gets in the dictionary because it's not actually a word. It's just words that we use. So
like
people
wiener.
Use irregardless enough that now it's in there.
I thought that's what the Urban Dictionary was for.
Well, I mean, that's not sanctioned by Webster.
Hey, the DEA is warning of meth that's made to look like candy and Flintstone vitamins in the Midwest. That's so Ohio of us, isn't it?
I give my kids Flintstone vitamins every morning.
The Federal Drug Enforcement Agency, known as the DEA, is warning of methamphetamines made to look like bits of candy or children's vitamins cropping up in northern Ohio that could be spreading into more of the Midwest.
That wasn't good enough for a Florida or Ohio story? I'm disappointed.
I don't think so.
We must have a really good
meth
one
is, No, meth is easy. Meth's an Ohio.
That's an Ohio thing. Yeah. I've told
point.
You that.
Yeah. Point.
Yeah, I told you that.
I know my audience.
Coke is South Florida. Meth is like northern Ohio.
I know my audience.
Speaking of that, do you guys want to play a game?
Yes. Oh, no.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
By the way, they're about to run the Maker Mile at Keeneland. It's a grade one stakes race. So just want to let you know, you got 1 minute to get your bets in.
Who do you have? Do you have someone in this race?
I have not. I'm not gambling, but I have it on in the background. The market is closed. So as soon as the market closes, I go to TVG.
Ponies.
And by the way, sometimes I turn on TVG just to hear Paul Allen call races at Canterbury. He is the best in the business.
Really? Wow.
Just for you-know-whats and giggles, he is outstanding. Outstanding. Okay, sorry, Adam.
Nah, a naked woman in hotel lobby said that all was okay.
Nothing to see here.
Appears this gal wasn't telling the naked truth. When police responded to a call of a suspicious person in a hotel lobby, they found a woman in the nude in the lobby. Obviously, I just said that. Records show when police showed up, the woman was naked in the lobby. She said everything was okay, but when they went to her room, they discovered a lot of alcohol. Lots of alcohol. And she appeared to be, after taking a sobriety test, she was indeed intoxicated, no anxiety attack at all. Just naked. Just getting naked and taking your clothes off.
Sounds very benign. It sounds, I'll say, the Grand Hyatt in Cincinnati.
Wow, I was going to say it sounds very South Beach, like any day of the week in South Beach. So I'm going to go Miami, Florida.
Yeah, this one hits close to home, as I've had a friend who this has happened to, believe it or not, who ended up naked in a lobby of a hotel.
Wait,
yes,
hold on.
You
buried the lead.
Yeah. I didn't know what the story was. I know a person who actually went on a vacation.
By the way, I'm going with the four horse race
in New Orleans.
Raging Bull.
Yeah.
Meller's FIFA friend was found naked in a hotel room in Vero Beach, Florida.
Yeah. That's the home of Florida, Ohio. That's where it all started, Vero Beach.
That's our home office.
That's our home office in Florida, Ohio. Vero Beach.
Yeah. All right. Coming up in 2 minutes, is college football going away for the fall? Someone connected to the Big Ten will give us his opinion coming up in 2 short minutes.